May the Lord help us to make this evening with 10,585. Where must the sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely? Eternal wrong would shine. Can wit or reason help him out and bring a lasting peace of death? 585.
Thank you. from the holy word of God. Let us read in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, and to begin reading at verse 26. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, and to begin reading at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, "Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, "Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus, and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, and drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple. You laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in, and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. The high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? I answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face, and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace. The damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Let us pray. O Lord, help us but now to pray. And may we make a petition in the words of the poet. O thou dear suffering Son of God, how does thy heart to sinners move? Sprinkle on me thy precious blood, give me a humble, contrite heart, a heart the Saviour to adore. Oh, may we have that heart to adore thee, even here tonight. So often we have to pray, Lord, remove the hard and marvel of my heart. And therefore we'd ask in prayer according to thy divine instruction that thy kingdom come. O Lord Jesus, do visit us. Do arise for our help. Oh, don't leave us where we are. Don't leave us to that careless condition and cold indifference and that natural deadness that we find so much within. And how we do need, Lord, the living waters. Oh, the Lord doesn't soften our heart. And guilt, Lord, seems to enclose us more in the prison. But oh, one look from thee can dissolve us in a moment. Ah, Lord, thou canst indeed arise. Blow upon our souls with thy holy breath of love. The breath of the Holy Ghost. And so we come here this evening. All is known to thee, about us personally. O Lord, our life's minutest circumstance here today is known to thee. Things in the family, things in the business world, and things in the Church of God, and things personal and private. Art a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we do have to confess the awful wickedness of our human heart. A multitude of evil thoughts, Lord. Even in an hour, let alone a day, in a lifetime. So we have to confess. Have those awful natures thou didst speak of. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and to name those various sins, Lord. Have to say guilty, guilty, guilty. Well, we bless thee for the gospel. What a gospel. Oh, a name given above every name. We long to bow. Oh, read the hearts of those who long to bow. Oh, who long for divine touch. Who long to reverence thee. Who long to know thy love to them. Who long to love thee in return. Lord, we want the kingdom of God to come in power. Ah, Lord, in that sweet assurance as the apostle declared, for the gospel came not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And no doubt there are a goodly number here who have felt its coming with power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. But how they do need further waterings of soul. Oh, they want some more dew of heaven. Oh, they need fresh supplies of grace. Oh, they need another visit, Lord, another divine touch. Oh, they need another rescuing, another saving, another visiting and a delivering from all the deadness and hardness and the corruptions of nature and all the entanglements, Lord, as the apostle wrote, let us lay aside therefore every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Oh, what shameful creatures we are. That sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Ah, Lord, that's been the author of our faith, then we're bound to say, oh, thou blessed Jesus, pardon my iniquity, soften my heart. Ah, and we need thee to be the finisher of our faith also. And lead us more into sweet meditation, Lord, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And help us remember in all our doldrums here tonight, all our low places and prison houses, is set down at the right hand of God. Oh, what a truth. Oh, thou dear, glorious, eternal, imperial, lovely majesty, reign over us. Oh, conquer our hearts. Come and save us, Lord. Oh, lead us each forth by that right way. Might go to a city of habitation. Do send the Holy Ghost. Oh, we beg for the Holy Spirit to be here. That blessed, glorious, eternal and divine Spirit to take of thine and to show these things to us. Make such a difference, Lord, in our hearings and preachings and, Lord, in the strengthening of our souls. It really does. Oh, the Spirit makes all the difference. Oh, grant then some due an unction in the gospel ministry tonight. And therefore thou art to come to poor, needy sinners. Thou knowest all about the illnesses and sicknesses of soul and the distempers, Lord, of this human nature and all the fears that we have, all the mountains we can't face and all the frightening things within the borders of our providence. There are so many things. Oh, thy kingdom come, Lord. Oh, soften our hearts and come. And save us, we pray, and say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And O Lord, say to thy people, as we read in the prophet, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Lord, bless us tonight. Oh, may some doubting Thomas touch thy wounds by faith, and say, my Lord, and my God. So bless us now, Lord, and help all friends in life's journey, the various matters of afflictions and deep afflictions, and the family trials, the heavy cares in family circles, and the many worries that we have, and those among us with fresh contracted guilt, and Lord, those whose hopes and fears alternate rise, and comfort mingle with their sighs, grant that there may be some sweet confirmings of soul with them tonight. So remember all among us in the path of affliction. Lord, it is true that afflictions do make us see what else escape our sight, how very vile and dim aware, God, how pure and bright. We're very frail, Lord, we soon forget it in days of health and strength. But are solemnly reminded when afflictions come that time is so short, and we need much saving, much mercy, much grace. Bless friends in the business world and help them, and may they prosper in the fear of God. And may not prosperity, so often does, bring about such a distance from God and carnal ease and satisfaction with dying things and to feel strong in self. Oh, save us from such things. Mind you, Lord, it doesn't need just merely a business, a prosperity that brings about this carnality, Lord, or even the ordinary man in the street going on so nicely can feel so complacent and pleased with himself. Save us. Save us from such a delusion. Though, Lord, trials are painful, it makes us to realise more and more how frail we are. And, Lord, we shall soon be lying within our narrow bed. Oh, to be well prepared for that dying moment. And, oh, my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. Oh, wash me in thy precious blood. Take my sins away. Another thing we pray against, save us from spiritual pride, awful spirit. Oh, nothing but love and mercy to the vilest of beasts, and yet we can soon start feeling pleased with grace, not feeling pleased with Christ, but our attainments, and as it were, and thinking we're a little better than somebody else, and more deeply taught, and more readily taught, and must be a much more humble person. Save us, Lord. Oh, how dreadful. Save us from such a spirit, we pray. Oh, there are many things we need to pray against. It's a dangerous world. Oh, the enemy of souls, such a destroyer, knows all our weaknesses. He longs to destroy us. Save us, Lord. Every day, every hour. Keep us in the way. Keep us in need. Keep us at thy feet. We realize that that cannot be an easy pathway, being kept in need. But we believe it's a safe pathway. So may we be given, Lord, that true wisdom. Oh, to abide in thee. May thy word abide in us. But may there be a little something for one and another here tonight. And pouring the oil in the wine of the gospel. Be our future. Please be our future. May we hide in thee. There's no future here below, Lord. Oh, mankind's ever looking for a better future. There isn't one here below. It's like the treasure bottle rainbow, Lord. Can't be found. Never found. And Lord, we live to prove, only Zion lives to prove, this is not our rest. May we know that our dear rest, our everlasting rest. Bless this people, Lord, and be with them and help them. Bless office bearers, give much wisdom and grace and godly fear. We thank thee that one has been enabled to testify of the Lord's mercies, and pray that be with her and bless her. Make her a praying mother in Israel in Zion, faith in the divine generation. Happen all life's journey before her. Oh, thou knowest what lies ahead. Oh, what gloomy lines are writ for her, and what bright scenes may rise. But Lord, she's a glorious prospect before us, all dear saints have, Lord. Oh, may she be helped to keep thee in view. Bring her safely through, and remember a dear one in affliction. Oh, spare the yet many happy years together, could it please thy divine majesty. Lord, though men naturally comment by their experience and knowledge concerning afflictions and so on, yet, oh Lord, thou great physician, oh thou who art the everlasting God, but in mercy spare yet for many years. Oh, be gracious and mindful. In all these things we pray. Help us each now. And all in need, any with child, bring safely through, Lord. Or be merciful to us each where we are in our lives, our loved ones, our offspring. We tremble, Lord, we want to lift us in this awful age. Oh, Lord, our rulers are determined to do wickedness. Bring that awful and fearful abomination. Oh, how can marriage be redefined? It's a creation ordinance. And, Lord, a sacred pattern of Jesus and his church. Oh, what an age of blasphemy and antichrist we live in. How rapidly, in our little lifetime, things have so plummeted, Lord. We wonder where the scene will end. Be merciful to our land. Send forth some labourers and true ministers, evangelists, to blow the gospel trumpet with a certain sound upon the street corners, and to warn men with power of the Holy Ghost on high. Oh, to declare to the people their plight and predicament, and to point out the mighty God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, make the ministry a living ministry in this awful and dreadful age, Lord. Nothing is too hard for Thee. Oh, our beloved land has sunk so low. Once, Lord, a leader in light and truth and spreading the gospel. And now we're spreading Antichrist and are leading one of the most leading nations in Antichrist. What a solemn place we've come to. Mercy, Lord. Mercy to us. Oh, for grace to endure unto the end, we pray. Oh, we shall need some grace to endure, Lord. Even if we don't face open persecution our little lifetime, we tremble for our offspring. But Lord, we shall all need some grace to die with. We really will. Oh Lord, be merciful to us each. Before we close, we thank Thee for the seasons, the rain, the sunshine, the wind. We'll taste of winter. Now the westerners have returned. We marvel at these seasons, Lord, and the seed time and harvest, and Thy faithfulness over the years and centuries, O good God. As we see the rainbow again and again in the sky, reminded of Thy covenant faithfulness. And may we be helped to view by faith of that rainbow round Thy throne, like unto us an emerald. O Lord, a faithful God. Now hear our thanksgivings then. And be with us now in these special cases, Lord. Ah, do meet them. We pray with a divine touch and an infallible cure. So help us now, Lord. We come to rapidly to the close of this year, to the Christmas season. We'll be in mercy, Lord, to have a sweet meditation finding Thy incarnation. Oh, Thy coming. Oh, Thy condescension. Oh, Thou blessed little babe, so defenseless in mother's arms. What can we say to such things, Lord? Oh, what a wonderful mystery. What a glorious truth. Ah, Almighty God the Son. Oh, touch the filling of our infirmities. And tend to a point like as we are yet without sin. Amazing grace. Lord, may we have some sweet meditation. May our souls live. And bring us into another year according to Thy kind will. And be that same God to us in the coming year that has been to us this year and all the years of our lives thus far. So help us now, loose a stammerer's tongue, and grant of us, saith the Lord. Oh, create that we cannot create ourselves. Some life in the ministry. Some living waters. Oh, some due unction and sweetness in the truth to our hearts tonight. We plead the pardon. All our filth, our stinking filth. Everything that's wrong about us, our whole nature, Lord, that's wrong. Ah, only that that is by faith is pleasing in Thy sight. What is not of faith is sin. So it shows how much sin we have. So pardon every sin and wash us through it. We plead Thy precious, holy, all-prevailing name. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Dearest of all the names above, my Jesus and my God, who can resist Thy heavenly love or trifle with Thy Son? 1095.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22, verse 61, particularly the first sentence in verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. We so hope to mention as help verse 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. The whole verse reads, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I think Peter was very shocked and surprised at himself. The Lord was not surprised. Because as he turned and looked upon Peter, he looked upon him as he knew him and saw him from all eternity. And that great God sees you and I as we are here tonight, but he's seen us from all eternity. Nothing surprises him about you and I, but so much is an offence unto him, but so much grieves his spirit. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. And yet, to later, after resurrection, oh, how the Lord says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And the third time, Peter in his answer said, O Lord, thou knowest all things. And now it's that I love thee. And some of you may be very grieved and bitter with yourself as you sit here tonight. Very bitter with yourself about many, many, many things. And yet, deep within your breast, as you hate your own life also, there's a longing you might know him and love him, worship him. There's a longing in your soul. The Lord knows whether there is a real longing for him to be formed in your heart, the hope of glory. You long him to conquer your heart and reign over you. Reign over you as king and accomplish his will. Powerfully bring you and me forth from all ill. Till falling before him, we laud his love name, ascribing the glory to God and the Lamb. He knows all things. Ah, do you come with another poet, pardon me, speaking in poetry? Do thou my sins subdue? Is it a prayer to God daily, thy sovereign love make known? The spirit of my mind renew and save me in thy Son. Ah, do you long to be filled with his spirit? Oh, know your sins, which are so many, to be forgiven. Sweetly confirm that you are his. Hear the shepherd's voice. As we read in John, follow thou me. Oh, Peter, always busy in his, busying in things that, about things that don't really belong to him. He's turned to John and he said, what shall this man do? And the Lord said, what is that to me, that to thee? Peter, till I come, follow thou me. Or may there be that divine power, continually, as it were, distilled within. Follow thou me. Take up our cross daily and follow him to be his disciple, what help we need, what grace we need. But God's merciful high priest at God's right hand, he looks right into your heart. He knows your need of help. And he reads your heart in your longings for his help. And the pathetic cries that may ascend out of your heart, Lord, save me. Lord, keep me. Oh, help me to arise. Oh, help me, Lord, to so follow hard after thee. Oh, to really deny myself, take up thy cross and be one of thy disciples and to get to heaven, Lord. Oh, bring me safely there. Is that the cry of your heart? Well, I'm just trying to look at this word then a little. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I read in Matthew because it gives Matthew gives probably a more full account of the words of poor Peter. Oh, poor man. You know, we're no different to Peter, are we, left to ourselves? He made some strong statements, didn't he, about his faith and his love to Christ and his strength. We made some strong statements before God, didn't he? But the Lord knew he'd make those strong statements from all eternity. He knew Peter's heart and Peter's human nature. He knows yours and he knows mine. Therefore, as he was about to enter into that solemn passion, he'd now set his face steadfastly towards Jerusalem to drink a dreadful cup. Why did he drink that cup? Well, as we read in Moses, yea, he loved the people. All thy saints are in thy hand. Oh, my friends, Peter was in the hands of the Lord Jesus. And so, as he now had gone to Jerusalem to drink that dreadful cup. Drink that dreadful cup of a lifetime of our sinnership. Answering the lifetime of our sinnership. This human nature, these human thoughts, the motions of your heart, our ill will, our love of the world, our slowness to yield all to Christ. Oh, we're solemn characters. And my dear friends, Emmanuel had to drink that cup. And for thousands and thousands of people upon thousands, we know not the number thereof. No man can number. Every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. What a solemn way. Have you sometimes known and indeed had to say before the Lord again and again, of sinners chief, Lord. You told the Lord sometimes there's none as vile as you. The worst in the kingdom. And when you consider what was laid, all the mystery of this grace, the wonders of redeeming love. And I began at verse 26 in Matthew. In pondering what to read and reading it here tonight, it struck me, you know, so sweetly, I can't put it into words, that as they were eating, Jesus, the Passover supper, you see, as they were eating, you see, it would appear to be from the other gospel, the close of supper. As they were eating, though, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, take heed, this is my body. This do in remembrance of me. And the cup likewise, poured it out into the cup and the wine into the cup and passed it round. Drink ye all of it, all of you drink it. And drink it all as well. Oh, this is the New Testament in my blood. This is my blood of the New Testament, that everlasting covenant which God declared in Egypt, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He knows those who keep the Passover today, not the outward Jewish form of the Passover, no, but those who plead the blood of the everlasting covenant for their sins, or those who see a beauty and a glory in that shed blood, or those who keep the feast with unleavened bread, want Christ only, to be your righteousness and your strength, your refuge forever, to be your Lamb and your High Priest, all your sins may be washed away. When I see the blood of our Passover, we do not shed blood, but we keep the feast by faith and ask the Lord for his great forgiveness. Solemnly confessing all our sins, bemoaning ourselves. Oh, saying, O wretched man that I am, in company with the Apostle Paul, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And who can truly say, but I thank Christ Jesus my Lord. Ah, my friends, how solemn it is, with our flesh we serve the law of sin. With our mind, that is our enlightened soul and spirit, we serve the law of God. We delight and long to know him more. And oh, how we feel we come so short. Now, you see, as he was about to suffer, you see. Oh, the cup was being placed upon him. So he instituted the Lord's Supper, that as often as they meet together, we do it once a month, it doesn't matter how often it is done. But it's done by faith is the vital thing. That we remember him in eating bread and drinking blood. His sacred humanity. The God-man. That babe born at Bethlehem. The matchless condescension. You are that I am. Yes, the incomprehensible God contracted to a span. And upheld, speaking most reverently, in his mother's arms. In all her nourishment, warmth and loving care. What a humiliation. It's a mystery to us. But that holy babe. That holy babe. Who is also the Son of God. No confusion of natures there. A true Son of Man, but exceedingly holy and special, because he's not tainted with sin, you see. He couldn't be. Yet at the same time, the eternal person of the Son of God, dwelling in him, in that babe. Who can understand the mystery? And my friends, it was for your salvation. And now he has come to full stature and has gone about doing his Father's business. His Holy Father is love. The great God, the judge of all the earth. Having committed all judgment at the hand of his Son, you see. He is love. Love to give his Son. Love to look upon you from all eternity and exercise you unto godliness and to win Christ. What love to you, sinner? If you're exercised unto godliness and to win Christ and to be found in, if you want God's mercy to surround you and God's love to be shed abroad in your heart, whose eternal thought is it? It's the eternal thought of your Father, the eternal love of your Father to you. Who gave you to his beloved Son. And in the fullness of time, among the generation of the sons of men, so our Heavenly Father begets eternal life through his Son. I give unto them eternal life. It's called as eternal thought. Having given the government to Christ and the bride to Christ. So Christ, according to prophecy, indeed, accords himself to approach unto the I am that I am on our behalf. Intercede for us and take our sins upon him from his Father's hand. To lay down his life in agonies and blood. To know soul destitution, soul agonies. We read in this Gospel Luke, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. You and I do pray more earnestly when we're in deep waters, don't we? And when we're not in deep waters, my friends, not so earnest are we. And we can't say Christ was like that, can we? Not so with him. He was ever earnest, ever real, ever prayed full prayers from his holy being to his Father. Never careless, never distant in prayer, never cold like you and I. Never left to a condition of drawing near with our mouth and our heart being far from him. Never left to that. Impossible. But you see, my dear friends, as he trod the winepress alone, none to help. His righteousness sustained him in the awful agony, Almighty God hiding his face from his dear son and putting his righteous servant to grief. See, it was as he squeezed in the olive press, so the prayer was squeezed out of his soul under the vengeance of God, the hiding of his face, the opposition of Satan, hell intent on destroying the Blessed One, and God putting his righteous servant to such a grief, and the sword of divine justice awaking against his servant, he poured out his soul unto death. And so he prayed concerning this dreadful cup in the garden, but before the awful, but I say, blessed scene, friend, blessed scene. So essential for your salvation, all God's love, God putting away his wrath from you and showing anger to his dear son, to punish his lovely son whom his soul delighted. He pleased God. And yet he should know that treading the winepress alone. My friends, they all forsook him and fled. And God, indeed, appeared to forsake him in the comfort of his soul and his sacred humanity, as he poured out his soul unto death. For your sake, love to you, your Father's love to you. So instituted the supper, didn't he? We may continually remember him, that in him we live and move and have our being. Your everyday providence. Often tremble, do you know, our everyday providence? Isn't it solemn we get used to routines, don't we? And an everyday providence. And how benumbed we can get if left to ourselves of the goodness of God in it. And one movement of his eyelids, my friends, can alter our providence in a moment and bring us into deep distress. What fearful creatures we are, how frail, how forgetful. Oh, my dear friends, yet he loves his people still. When his people forget him and go on in their own ways, he loves them, never withdraws that love. So instituted this Lord's Supper. I shouldn't dwell too much on this, and I must hasten on. They should remember him. And we also read the account, particularly in Matthew, of Peter being strong. Oh, he said, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And he says in another gospel, he'd follow me even unto death, lay down his life. And you know, the Lord solemnly told him, but it fell on a hard heart, you know. I believe that Peter, as far as he could be, was as sincere as his nature could be. He had no intention of ever denying his master. No intention at all. How the dear saints may indeed be suddenly overtaken in some evil thing. They get up in the morning, they don't intend any such thing. Something may come along in their lives, you see, and overtake them, and they're gone. And what are their souls filled with? Terrors and fears. I've prayed for thee. Prayed for thee. He loves his people. Well, you see, as he turned and looked upon Peter, he looked upon him as he saw him from all eternity. And so Peter boasts, and we read of the fall, and I'm very thankful, really, how the wisdom of God here. It is intimated to us that, firstly, he just made a plain declaration, I know him not. Sadly, the second time, it was affirmed by an oath. We're thankful we now do not know the words. It's wisely hidden. And thirdly, he began to curse and to swear. The sense there, of course, is he swore he didn't know him. And he imprecated himself with curse if he did know him. In other words, he was protesting innocence as they did in those times. Cursed be I if I've done that. Meaning I'm innocent of it. Solemn thought, isn't it? It's mysteriously hidden from us how low a man can go. We tremble. May we tremble at ourselves. The Lord knows the bounds of his boundless grace, his everlasting covenant love to his dear people. There's no room for Pharisees in the kingdom of heaven. We need much saving, much sanctifying, much keeping, much ministering of grace in all tenderness and love to us. Right down to the details of our providence and the care of our never dying soul. Boundless grace. Boundless grace. And so poor Peter, falling in this way, think of Solomon. Good King Solomon. Much favoured of God. Type of Christ in his majestic glory in Israel. Putting out, yes, the throne of David. That they, he who should come was David's greatest son. And how in old age he fell away into idolatry and brought idols in. Who could comprehend such a thing? And oh, poor David in the well-known fall he had. And other sins. Particularly, of course, we realize the adultery and the shedding of innocent blood. He planned the death of his loyal servant. What a despicable thing for a man of God to do. A singer of Israel. Where did he get to? Left to himself. Overtaken. We could go on and on, couldn't we? Sarah lying in the presence of the Lord. You think of it. Did he withdraw his covenant love? Yea, Sarah did laugh. Oh, yea, thou didst laugh. Wherefore did Sarah laugh? I laugh not. Yea, thou didst laugh. Don't lie to me, Sarah. I know everything. But friends, determined that Sarah should bear a son to be that fulfilling of the promise of the Messiah that should come and die for Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac and Rebekah, and for Jacob and Rachel and Leah and the patriarchs. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. He withdrew not. Though he was offended, he withdrew not the favour. And really, you see, what an offence to Emmanuel. Now, we see very solemnly here, something's often been a wonder to me. Here was the Lord Jesus laying down his life for the sheep, and the sheep forsook him. Well, it's true, they could not have part in it, could they, really? Emmanuel must be the mighty man of valour and gain the victory alone, that all glory should be to him. There can be no help for man. Man has to flee away in this solemn and awful and dreadful hour when Jesus should sweat great drops of blood. The best they could do was to fall asleep in the garden. And the best they could do when he was led away was to forsake him and flee. In John we read another disciple, and the divines say it was John the way he spoke, wrote of the disciples. He usually wrote of himself, not directly, but in a personal way, and in impersonal way. So another disciple went in, which is generally thought to be John, to judgment. We hear no more of him. Peter seemed to linger the longest, and down he went, poor man. Dear friends, we had no lot or part in this matter originally. It's grace, 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 free grace to you, free grace to me. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Oh, what man of men ought we all to be in holiness of conversation. Lord, sanctify us by his grace. Have had the honour and the glory. Was read in Hebrews, are quoted in prayer, the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, there is poor Peter caught out. The Lord looked upon him. Now, I want to consider this in one or two ways, really, the Lord helping me. Something that I have already hinted at and can't say much on because it's a wonderful mystery. But as he looked upon Peter, as I said, he looked upon him from all eternity. Oh, he watched over you as your mother travailed for you in birth, and we each bore safely from their mother's womb. What in pollution and blood? In the nature of sin, I mean it in the spiritual sense more than the natural. Oh, the natural only a sign of an inward pollution. And my dear friend, so defenceless and so helpless, growing up in human nature, going forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. Into our wayward youth, now our youth may have gone very far and some less far. But all love sin. All knew our schoolboy sinful days. We'll grow to youth and as adult life, as young men and young women. And here we are. Oh, can you confess like the apostle that by the grace of God you are what you are? A poor, sinful worm of the earth. A poor, weak, sinful, helpless worm. On thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. Does Holy Ghost witness with your heart, that's a real desire of your soul, as a worthless, sinful, weak and helpless worm of the earth. Be thou my strength, everlasting strength, Lord, to get me to heaven at last. May not sink in sin and thraldom and unbelief, and in fears and tremblings to rise no more. Be kept from turning back, Lord, that I might endure unto the end and overcome through thy worthy, precious, meritorious blood. Oh, let me overcome, Lord. Be thou my strength and righteousness to completely robe me in the righteousness of thy lovely, holy, pure life for sinners, that it love God with all thy heart, all thy might, and all thy soul. And weave a woven righteousness from top to bottom without a seam, not put together, but properly and lawfully and skillfully woven in the lovely holy life of the Lord Jesus. Yes, and all, and in all, your loving friend, your dear bridegroom, your daily helper. Oh, his eyes upon you. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Oh, dear friends, he saw you and intended you to come and be where you are today in his everlasting love. To the teeming millions born in the earth every day, and all their prophets, they grew up in all the nations, and sometimes in all the more primitive parts of the world and the civilized parts of the world, all the cities and villages and the jungles of the earth. Individuals, never dying souls, God sees them all. Why should he think upon you? What had made you to differ? Did you demand, or did you make yourself to be born under the sound of the gospel? Maybe those here, I don't know, who may not have been brought up under the sound of the gospel, but the Lord brought you under it in his skillful way. He thought upon you. He knows your circumstances. There are things in our providences, you know. We're sad rebels, aren't we? Do you know what it is to be discontented with your lot? Do you wish to have something the Lord hasn't given you? I speak very tenderly and carefully. All poor men, you know. Are there things in your life you wouldn't have? Have you crooks and hard things and things, my dear friends, that are so straight in your soul at times? Do you suffer from poor health? Are you weak? Do you suffer from some nervous fears and disabilities and feel you're not up to life properly? Do you have worries, heavy worries, given responsibilities and humbled to realise you won't manage this alone? You need some real help. Favour with families and loved ones and brothers and sisters, there are those married and those unmarried, those who indeed have to walk their own peculiar pathways. There's always a crook in the lot, my friend. And our worst part is our sinnership. Oh, my friends, what do we deserve by sinnership? Well, the psalmist said, "Thou hast shown me hard things again and caused me to drink the wine of astonishment." Things too solemn. But you know, dear friends, a mercy if there's some sanctifying. Well, I just want to set this forth as the Lord seeing us from all eternity. Today, seen from all eternity. Yes, Peter's dreadful fall. Emmanuel should forewarn him, shouldn't he? And my friends, he took no heed. Mysterious, mystery, isn't it? You think surely he'd take heed to Emmanuel. How many times has the scriptures reproved you? Have you played that part like the mad mariner that saw the rock ahead and the danger, but he still struck it? Couldn't seem to steer away from it. Weren't wise to trim your sails and to cry to the mighty God of Jacob. Failed, you see, and come short. My wife was saying how, looking back over life's journey, personal things, of course, which are only known to ourselves in our little lives together, but all the many mistakes and the follies. Having been forewarned, spoke a certain time of stirring up and forewarned, and yet it wears off. And going to that cold condition again. And we can't go into detail, they're personal to us. And your personal things, haven't you, see? No different to Peter, are we? Or we say we'll be exercised, we'll pray about this. And we don't. We're frail. We need God's love. We need that look that he gave Peter, don't we? Well, you see, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Now, I want to speak of this looking upon. It's a vast subject and it's nearly time to close. I can't really put this into true words, you know, but the Holy Ghost can make these things very blessed to you. A look of everlasting love. Real love. Love that laid down his life for his sheep. Love that was willing to be smitten. To know God's wrath that an ungrateful and an unfaithful and I was going to say a treacherous Peter, though of course he didn't betray Christ. Not like Judas who planned it all. Oh, quite a difference. The devil entered Judas. But, you know, I speak very carefully here. But I'm speaking about myself. The prophet said, or the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, "I knew thou wouldst altogether deal treacherously." Oh, for thy, how does it go? Thy neck is as, thy brow brass, thy neck as an iron sinew, reproving Israel for their wandering, you see. "I knew that as altogether deal treacherously." He knew what Peter would do. He's seen my treacherous ways over the years. He's seen your lukewarmness and your turnings aside. And oh, where there are days of thy first love and thy first espousals. I know these are solemn things, but everlasting love. It broke him. Do you feel and know your need of being broken? You long to be broken if you're a child of God. In fact, if you have those longings, there's also already a springing up of some brokenness in your heart. I believe that. If you can truly say, sitting here tonight, "I long to be broken, Lord. I long for thee to soften my heart. Bring me in real contrition and brokenness to thy dear feet. And to really mourn and love and worship thee." John Kent says in 113, "Daily to feel thyself undone will make thee haste to kiss the Son on thy knees for pardon, sue, and praise, and love, and bless him too. Down towards woman of the city, you see, well known to some, the Pharisee. He looked down his nose at her, looked down his nose at Christ as well. Yes, she came in. She was a wretched woman. She washed his feet with her tears and wiped his feet with the hairs of her head and anointed his feet and kissed his feet too. Kissed by a well-known common woman of the city and from the Pharisee. He hadn't heard of her conversion or change, hadn't received the intelligence. And he said, well, if this man was a prophet, no, she was a sinner. Can't be a prophet. This man receiveth sinners. Oh, but she wept, you see. Tears of godly sorrow. We read, don't we? And Peter went out and wept bitterly, wept bitterly. See, think of the authority and the power in that look he gave to her. My soul, weren't they upon God for the blessing you need? The divine instruction you need, the love that you need, another touch from him. You know those exercises, those answers to your prayers, those softenings you've already received, hopes raised up. But how you need so much encouragement from the Lord. Been to come where you are yet and strengthen your weak hands and confirm your feeble knees. Hey, you need a fleece wet and a fleece dry. Oh, the Lord to direct you in your ways. Oh, you see, the Lord looked with power, divine power. Peter knew himself to be as a beast before God, didn't he? Not a boasting disciple, I'll serve thee, I'll never deny thee, I'll go to death with thee. Oh, but now he needed mercy. Think of the divine power in this. The divine power over you over the years in bringing you under his gracious hand. Where would you be but for his gracious hand? What are you by nature? A rebel poor, a rebel vile, a wretch indeed. So wavered in heart. Such a treacherous dealer naturally. Hot and cold in half an hour. And yet here, you won't cry. You want the reality of his blessing. Wanted to look upon you in such a way as you looked upon Peter to break your heart. The power in that look. The Lord can look right into your soul in a moment. Deep affection. Deep affection. Break your heart in a moment. You see, not only that authority and power, but there was hurt and healing in this, wasn't there? Judas went and hanged himself. Peter went and found the disciples, didn't he? The Sabbath. He kept the Sabbath with the other disciples, you see. Oh, they weren't offended. Don't ponder the disciples, you know, as Emmanuel lay in the grave. The Sabbath was coming. Of course, he rose the first day of the week. Now, at our Gentile first day of the week. Now Sunday, of course. And early in the morning, the godly women went up first. But they're with the company of the disciples, you see. They daren't turn away. They'd had probably the greatest trial the church could possibly know. I'll say that carefully. I mean, it's not for us to start measuring trials and the periods and sorrows in the church of God. But you ponder this, they verily believed him to be the Blessed One. They knew he was the Messiah, been revealed to them by God, you see. As Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father in heaven." See, some of you know this, don't you? Your Father has revealed to you Jesus is the Christ. You worshipped him. Received his sweet tokens of love in your heart. But where did poor Peter get to? But we come to this point, you see. They saw that Blessed One crucified. Now what an awful trial. They just did not understand. Clearly they didn't understand. His speaking arrived the third day and it did not seem to affect them in any way. They had it mentally recorded in their mind because they remembered it afterwards. But they seem to sort of be so utterly confused and overwhelmed. Like you and your heavy trials. Heavy trials. So often you seem overwhelmed in the darkness. You can't pray, you can't trust, you can't believe. So what do? You keep going to the throne of grace in your groans, in your captivity. You cry out after the Lord Jesus, feeling so far off from him, so dreadful at his sight. He's hidden himself away. Can't find your beloved. But you're not offended. You don't turn back. You have to keep crying after him. Praying hard-hearted prayers and longing for his deliverance. Well, what sweet surprise. He's not here. He's risen. Went before them and made himself known to them, you see. Now, one or two things concerning this looking. As a high priest now, the right hand of power. He hears your groanings. He reads your heart. As a high priest, he carries you in his breast, on his breast, doesn't he? As in the ministrings, you see, the high priest had that breastplate with 12 gemstones and a name of a tribe engraved in each gemstone. Different gemstones, 12, you see, of the 12 tribes of Israel. He carried Israel in his heart upon his breast, didn't he? Now interceding in heaven, the government being upon his shoulder, he intercedes for you. He reads the prayers that are silent from your heart. Sometimes you can't put your thoughts into words properly. I've had to tell the Lord sometimes I'm so troubled I cannot speak. There's a psalmist, I can't put it into words, Lord. And yet, in a broken way, you spread matters before him. He intercedes for you. He knows your motive. He reads your heart. He knows your felt poverty and your own weakness in the flesh. He fully understands as a merciful and a faithful high priest. Intercedes for you. And he carries your cause and your case. And then you see, as that blessed high priest in heaven, he commands the blessings to come down. You think of those many answers to prayer. Who has heard your prayers these many years? Yet still you need to answer your prayers. You need to be sanctified by him, sanctified by the blood, to know no will but his, and to seek and to reverence him, and to commit all into his hand, and leave all to his superior and blessed judgment. The Lord Jesus, feeling the weight of your sins, believer, as we read, said, Father, it be possible that this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but not my will, but thine be done. I must not think the Lord Jesus hesitated or wished the cup to fall away. It sets forth the awful weight of the dimension. In this gospel here in Luke, we didn't read it in Matthew, we read of an angel from heaven that strengthened him. Your dear Emmanuel needed strengthening from by the ministerings of God in sending that angel. He knows your case. He knows your trouble. You need his sweet strengthening in your soul, enabling you to continue, enabling you to go on in the way, to go forward, to strengthen your weak hands and confirm your feeble knees. Oh, you need him to strengthen you in the fiery trial, so you don't sink, but you're able to continue in the grace of God, to strengthen your soul, to increase your faith, to lay hold upon that eternal life. Ah, my friends, you see, he looks upon you in all your difficulties and troubles, from all eternity, yes, but from heaven's court tonight, the government upon his shoulder, our life's minutest circumstance subject to his eye. Of course, my dear friends, he felt the sins upon him as Peter was doing them, but not just at that moment, but the sins of the whole life of Peter. And the whole life of you and I. laid upon it. But what a look of life, life. There is life in his looks to your soul. Some of you know that, don't you? You know the life in the looks he gives you, your beloved. He looks down from heaven and looks into your soul. Oh, he speaks God's counsel to your heart. Those fear nots instruct you to believe and to trust with divine power. The minister may say many times, we must believe and trust. He's not lying, it is true. It's the word of God. But how different it is, not just merely in a natural way, in a Christian way, as it were, in a general sense, to believe and trust. My dear friends, when it's real counsel to your soul, you worship then, don't you? You really do trust. It's a sweet thing to trust too. So as you draw near, enabled to draw near, he knows your longings to come forth to draw near. And to really wait upon your God and put your trust there. See, these are, much of this is the longing of your soul. And seasons, favours of your soul in giving you liberty and blessing to enable you to do so. Sweetly confirm your soul that you are his. And I know we change for my soul through many changes goes. His love, no variation knows. That look to Peter was a look of everlasting love, as it was to Jeremiah. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And how often we are found in our sinnership here. You feel so wretched in the sight of God, who don't do with yourself. Can I write bitter things? And you have fearful thoughts of what will the Lord do if he's strict to mark your iniquities. The psalmist was there. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, but that chase me in the hot displeasure. For out of the depths of I cried unto thee, O Lord. But if thou shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But if forgiveness with thee, thou mayest be feared. And so the Lord, you see, he looked in love and compassion. You know that in your soul, my friend. The Lord has looked down in such love and compassion. And oh, your sins have been removed. Oh, your heart is softened and you're broken before God. Oh, you're restored into communion again. A chastened and a loved child. These are the dealings of God with our soul. They really are, my dear friends. Notice something that the Lord said to the religious people in the council, the priesthood and the Sanhedrin, as it was called, as we read it, didn't we, in Matthew? When he confessed, you see. I thought it very solemn as I read it. Jesus said to him, thou hast said, that is, thou hast said, I am the Son of God, affirming that he was. Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. They wouldn't know him. Therefore, when he comes that second time, they'll know him then. But oh, in the greatest distress and agony that they would ever enter the beginning of hell to them. But dear friends, do you know that loving man that rules the course? Do you pray like the poet 27 to the Holy Ghost? Show us that loving man that rules the course of bliss. Lord of hosts, the mighty God, the eternal Prince of peace. Have you seen his hand? Why, oh, I say it's time to stop. Have you seen his hand in your life, his loving hand? Oh, see his goodness, Father. Has he visited your soul? Oh, have you leant hard upon him? Are you leaning hard upon him now? Poor, needy, the church is ever knows of poverty here. You'll always have a sinning heart here. You can never serve the Lord properly. And somehow you hold these things by a precious faith and you plead the Lord to maintain that life in your soul. And you know that you fail, but you find he fails not. He still gives the grace. He still supplies the grace after all our failings these many years. Well, I haven't dealt with this really very well. The Lord pardon. I can never do anything properly. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. What a sweet effect it had on him. Peter hated himself, but he knew Jesus had spoken the truth to him. So he knew it was the Christ that he was crucified and buried. And it looked like that was the end of it all. But he knew what was in his heart. He knew Jesus was the Son of God still. All they could do was to meet together and watch and pray. Poor disciples, feeling so utterly overwhelmed, in danger of their lives, you see. But they had that blessed intelligence. Yes, he rose from the dead, and they saw him and held his feet. Well, may we hold on to that blessed, risen, ascended Saviour, my friends. And may we have to commit all our way. And may we know so many of his dear looks. His looks into your soul. The spouse speaks the canticles. You see, that look he gave her. Oh, you want his looks into your soul, don't you? Lovely looking. Some of you know it, don't you? Yes, we know some looks, some solemn looks at times. You fall down. Pardon, Lord, my sin. Pardon my iniquity. My sweet looks when he touches and revives your soul. Oh, how then your heart flows with gratitude and worship to him. Well, that holy Son of God is that blessed one in heaven now. May give us some sweet meditation at this time of the year. It's not wrong to appoint a time for remembrance. I mean, I know it's perhaps from a pagan tradition, we're told, but those things we must leave. As it is in Western Christendom to remember at this time, the Lord grant us some particular sweet meditation, and throughout the year as well, but particularly now, to may soften our hearts, not taken up with all the other parts of the human tradition in our land. Done lawfully, it's nice among families, but there we must leave that. We must die one day. Oh, to really think upon him who condescended to men of low estate, and condescended to you, and condescended to me. Did he really come to me? Oh, did he come to this world for me, sinful me? Ah, my friends, may we know a little of that peace on earth and God's good will to men, to you and me, and that we might eat him and drink him by faith. Well, I believe if we're instructed of the Spirit, you'll lean hard upon him. You'll say like Peter, godly Peter, Lord, whom else can we go? That's the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that that Christ, the Son of the living God, providence and grace, all your details, all your hard things, all your fears and tremblings, all your hopes, all the desire of your soul, believing him to be the Son of God, may we say with Peter of old, I can go to no one else, Lord, for I know about that Christ, the Son of the Highest, the Blessed One. Friend, if that's true of you tonight, you will see him. You will go to heaven. You will stand and bow among them there and view his face and sing his love, though you're such a poor thing here below. But my friends, he's faithful that promised, having begun the work in you to bring his dear feet in reverent awe and love and living desire, one day he'll gather you around you, around his throne, and shed his glories upon you and the whole election of Christ. The Lord grant us one of these most sacred looks into our soul, as it did Peter that night, to start the Lord's blessing upon the word. Lord, do break our hearts. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thy kingdom come, Lord, to us, poor sinners. So follow with thy blessing, Lord. May the Holy Ghost take of all that's been true here tonight and make it life to us. And please may all that's been spoken wrongly be blotted out in thy precious blood. Grant us now safe journeys, and we hope to retire later. Lord, favour us each with sleep and a good night's rest. If it can please thy kind majesty, spare us yet to meet again, as we plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Wednesday, and Mr. Pack on Friday of next week, followed by Mr. Gerald Buss on Saturday at Darlington. Let us close with hymn 582. High beyond imagination is the love of God for man, far too deep for human reason, fathom that it never can. Love eternal, richly dwells in Christ the Lamb. 582.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.